It's now 22 minutes after 9 o'clock. Now, earlier when we introduced our second hour, we said we're going to be playing in some clips of former President Jacob Zuma, who has joined Twitter. Now, he's now sitting at 125,000 followers. And of course, we're going to be playing in clips where he assures us that it is him that is engaging in the conversation and that it's not a fake account. And we'd like to get your view on what you think this is about. What is President Jacob Zuma, former President Jacob Zuma, trying to do? And more importantly, is it tied to the fact that he is now going to have to pay for himself financially? Is this a big crowdfunding exercise? Is this an exercise to still influence the narrative as the kind of, you know, end of the road just comes nearer for him? We'd like to get your views, and don't forget to give us a call on 011-883-0702. You can, of course, also send me an SMS on 31702, and you can send us a WhatsApp note, both a text and voice note, on 072-702-1702. But of course, we go on with some other stories. Now, an important organization in terms of young people held its annual National Congress at the University of Fort Hare earlier this month. And this is the Young Communist League of South Africa. The YCL is the highest decision-making body, or rather the National Conference is the highest decision-making body of the YCL, and elected a new national committee. The Congress assessed the work of the organization, and it was attended by delegates from people from places all over the world, all over the country. And it was addressed by Tripartite Alliance leaders, the Progressive Youth Alliance, as well as international fraternal organizations. Now, one of the reasons why we're interviewing the YCL is, of course, because of the fact that the majority of young people in South Africa are in fact young voters. The majority that's going to vote in 2019 and 5 years after that are going to be under the age of 35. So youth organizations obviously have a huge role to play. And people often speak about a youth that is alienated, a youth that is locked out of the economy. So we want to hear from the YCL what is their political program, specifically also in relation to the fact that the ANC list criteria makes it so clear that they are looking for competent young people, but particularly competent young women, women under the age of 40, for example, people with skills and so on. And we want to see what the Communist League is going to be contributing. And to join us in this conversation, I am speaking with the new spokesperson, Mulaudi Sikati. Mr. Sikati, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Karim. How are you? And greetings to the listeners.
Thank you very much. Now, you've held a success. You're on air. We can hear you. I'm saying you've held a successful conference. You've raised the question of the transformation of education, and of course you're emphasizing that investment in education is still the key route to youth development. And one of the other things that you're talking about, of course, is that they need to look at the fact that the TVET colleges need to be upgraded, and we need to send more people there. Not everybody can go to university. And I'm quite impressed by the fact that you've made substance abuse an issue in your program. And we know a lot of young people experiment with drugs, with alcohol, with all kinds of substances, and get terribly compromised, get caught up in the criminal justice system. Just take us through the three key campaigns of the YCL for this year in relation to the reality that youth unemployment stands at double that of the rate of national unemployment.
Well, thanks, Karima, and greetings to the listeners also. Well, we had a very successful Congress, as the YCL say, at Fort Hare Eastern Cape Province. We actually had more than 1.2 delegates from across the country. Basically, our our national congresses are a space for us to make an assessment of how far we have come in terms of the resolutions of our previous congresses.
Yeah.
And also to map a way forward. As we have said, education remains a priority which any youth movement cannot afford to ignore.
Yeah.
But also, we met at a time when I think it is important to stress, at a time when we are having a period of activism against gender-based violence.
Yes.
And in particular, abuse against women and children.
Mm-hmm.
So as the YCLSA, we affirmed our commitment to the struggle to eradicate all forms of oppression, meted especially against women, children, and any marginalized population.
Mm-hmm.
And we remain inspired by revolutionary leaders who made it clear that at the center of any revolutionary process, women emancipation should take priority. So
now,
it's important to know that. Yeah.
Of course, a lot of young YSL women are also active in the Young Women's ANC Women's Desk. My apologies. In fact, I interviewed one of your leaders on Sunday, and this question of coming out against people that are seen as predators. We have, for example, the Pule Mabe case, where he is in fact being charged of sexual harassment, and they've taken a very different position historically from the ANC Women's League.
Yeah, from the conventional approaches. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And how much has the YCL invested in this campaign to deal with the issue of patriarchy and to deal with the issue of gender-based violence and also influence organizations like the Young ANC Women's League's desk?
Mm. Of course, besides us convening a national congress, our districts, our branches, are members of the community, and they, most of them are always part and parcel of programs that are aimed at combating, you know, the scourge of violence against women, children, and the marginalized population. So whether it's besides congresses, we are always on the ground. We are always, you know, working together with community organizations and civil society formations, either through workshops, programs, marching, and various other ways to be able to make a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to your question, one of the key initiatives basically is that we have declared 2019 as the year of the TVET sector, especially to make it a contribution towards the skills resolution, as it were. Because we have found that We normally rely on conventional or traditional universities as far as making a contribution in the human resource development of our country is concerned.
Yeah.
But if we could focus on TVET colleges, we could go a long way. We could actually lobby for more funding and for TVET graduates to be, you know, absorbed into industry.
Absolutely.
And also what we did is that we realize that without us speaking about the ills of the financialization of the economy, all our efforts at skilling are going to be a null and void. So what we need to do is that our program of skills resolution must be accompanied by a call for the industrialization of our economy. I think one or the other Patrick mentioned that aspect. So we need to accompany our programs of skills resolution is a call for the industrialization of the national economy so that it increases the absorptive capacity of the economy. Otherwise, the financialization of the economy de-skills the labor force, and as a result, you're going to have a massive number of unemployed people, particularly young ones.
The problem is, of course, that we're moving towards a world that has a knowledge-based economy, where the fourth industrial revolution is very big, where machines are going to be replacing people, and your conventional industrialization processes that traditionally built up economies is not necessarily going to be viable. You do mention the fourth industrial revolution, and you're encouraging people to get involved. involved in it, particularly in the agricultural sector. You also focus on the campaign that the price of data must fall. But how are you going to marry the fact that we have to get ready for the fourth industrial revolution and we have to industrialize at the same time when the two are perhaps bumping up against each other?
Well, I think that's an important question. You know, when our General Secretary, Comrade Blade, addressed, he said we must provide a Marxist-Leninist understanding of the fourth industrial revolution. We believe that we cannot jump into the bandwagon of the industrial revolution without us explaining exactly as to what it means and also who does it apply to. For example, you know the spatial configuration of our country, that we are speaking about fourth industrial revolution. There are people who have not even come closer to the second or to even the third industrial revolution. Those are the factors that we need to take into consideration.
But the world is moving forward. That is the reality.
But the world is experiencing uneven development.
For sure.
Moving forward in an uneven form. What we need to do is that we need to speak about fourth industrial revolution in tandem with the reality that there are people who are still living in rural areas who do not even have access to the latest of technology, that is the very technological gadgets we have. So mm-hmm. that is what we need to do. So we need not generalize. We need to have a program that deals with specific challenges of a particular location so that we are going to provide a comprehensive, you know, package for youth empowerment, for youth development.
Mr. Sikate, we've got a caller on the line that's got a question for you. He's Touch from Germiston. Touch, what is your question for Mr. Sikate from the YCL?
Hi, good evening, Karim, and your guest.
Good evening.
Hi. Yes, Karim, I just want to find out from, since the YCL is the youth organization or youth wing of the SSEP, I just want to find out if you can tell me the contribution that they made during the Feed Us Fall campaign. And I think I heard this afternoon that apparently it's not going to be, the cap is not going to be 600,000 rand anymore. And what are they planning to do to fight that? Because obviously, when we talk about unemployment, we need youth who are educated. So education is very important. And if they can't pay it, then they won't be educated. But I just want to find out their contributions in the past and going forward.
Okay. Touch, your question is well understood. Mr. Sikate, your response to the question that Touch is putting on the table.
We participated actively in the Feed Us Fall campaign. In actual fact, our participation was not only in the street, but we developed a portfolio that dealt with higher education specifically. That is why we had a higher education summit which convened all members of YCL and even young people are not even members of YCL to an academic summit where we deliberated on issues that ought to be tackled. So we had even a specific portfolio which went to make a presentation to the Presidential Commission on free higher education. Mm. So we have been on the ground, we have been working. And what is important is that we have a clear position as YCL say that we need to decommodify education. We cannot allow a situation where we have to buy education like any other commodity in the marketplace. We need to decommodify education because the very reality of people being unemployed, it simply means people do not have the means to purchase any other commodity, including education. Mm-hmm. So if we need to free up the potential of young people, we need to decommodify it. And we made a very solid contribution. And people would want to know more about some of the contributions and some of the publications, they can go to our website and they can even go to our bottom line and to access pieces and contributions from a theoretical point of view that are made by young people, even from universities, as to how we can transform and eventually decommodify education.
A final question to you, Mr. Sikate. We've got an SMS that says, the YCL has supported and produced, protected abusive people for some time. They are also highly patriarchal. Now, we don't have names, and I don't have specific individuals that this person is referring to, but this is the SMS we've received. How do you respond to that, given the fact that you say you are so committed to fighting gender-based violence and also fighting patriarchy and for different power relations between genders?
Yeah, it was important for that individual to call or to specify exactly how you have done that. Because it is difficult to deal with the ghost or, the shadow. It's
really
difficult because they are not specifics. But what you have done is that, YCL is a youth movement in pursuit of a just world. And anything that is unjust, we confront it in whatever way possible. So it is important for people to familiarize themselves with our programs on an ongoing basis so that they don't make assumptions or just throw slander in order to bring the name of YCL into difficulty. Mm. I mean, our track record speaks for itself. You know, issues of people, young people who are employed but underpaid. They've been raising issues of data, that in order for young people to access opportunities or to know where to get employment, they have to surf on the internet so that they're able to get exactly where they can be employed. So we've been speaking about a wide range of issues. We've been speaking about the LGBTI community, that we are evolving. And if we are having a homophobic society, we are not going to go forward. We need to allow everyone to express themselves in whatever way possible. That's the only way we can actually bring about a just society.
All right, Mr. Sekati, we're going to leave it there. We will, of course, revisit the program of the YCL and your progress. And I'm very keen to see how you're going to make the YCL less sectarian and perhaps work with other left formations, young people that identify as left, but that's not necessarily part of the Congress left. But thank you very much, Mr. Sekati, the spokesperson there for the YCL.